CRTV's afternoon edition with me, Drusilla Mokoso Joki. In our top stories, plants are food to regulate.
Take place in the country's 10 regions. It seeks to strengthen entrepreneurship and innovation at grassroots through robust public policies. The event was launched by the Minister of Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises, Social Economy and Handicraft, Achille Basilikan III. The African Women's Summit, which promotes women and girls, has called on Cameroonian women to develop an ambitious mindset and break the barriers that prevent their socioeconomic and political emancipation. This was the message contained in the keynote address delivered by University lecturer Professor Joyce Ashutantan during the event in Yaoundé to launch the Cameroon chapter of the African Women's Summit, headed by Quinta Rita Edang. The launching ceremony was attended by officials of the Ministry of Women's Empowerment and the Family. The Minister of Public Works informs users of National Road No. 3 Yaoundé Douala that following the drop in rainfall, upgrading works have begun on this major road. These include reinforcement maintenance works involving the patching of potholes and rehabilitation of white deteriorated strips. The execution time frame is 9 months. Conscious of the inconvenience the users of this road may experience as a result of these works, the Minister of Public Works calls on them to be civic-minded and to respect informative signs. He reassures the road users that everything has been planned to keep the schedule within the contractual time frame. Besides, it is important to stress that National Road No. 3 has reached the end of its lifespan and exceeded the maintenance threshold. As a result, the government has undertaken to provide funding for its reconstruction. The Minister of Public Works hereby orders as follows. Article 1, some public works subdivisions are with effect from the date of signature of this order created in the Ministry of Public Works. A. Adamawa Region, Mayo Banyu Division, Bankim Public Works Subdivision in Bankim. Its territorial jurisdiction covers the Bankim Subdivision. Biri Division, Johong Public Works Subdivision in Johong. The territorial jurisdiction covers the Johong and Gawi Subdivisions. Faro and Jir Division, Concha Public Works Subdivision in Concha. Its territorial jurisdiction covers the Concha Subdivision. Center Region, Bamankim Division, Yoko Subdivision of Public Works in Yoko. Its territorial jurisdiction covers the Yoko Subdivision. East Region, Bumba Ngoko Division, Mulundu Subdivision of Public Works in Mulundu. Its territorial jurisdiction covers the Mulundu Subdivision. Far North Region, Logon and Shari Division, Waza Subdivision of Public Works in Waza. Its territorial jurisdiction covers the Waza Subdivision. Northwest Region, Momo Division, Batibo Subdivision of the Public Works in Batibo. Its territorial jurisdiction covers the Batibo Subdivision. Southwest Region, Dian Division, Ekondotiti Subdivision of Public Works in Ekondotiti. Its territorial jurisdiction covers the Ekondotiti Subdivision. Kupemwanenguba Division, Nguti Subdivision of Public Works in Nguti. Its territorial jurisdiction covers the Nguti Subdivision. This order shall be registered, published according to the procedure of urgency and inserted in the official gazette in French and in English. The Executive Secretary of African Synergy Against AIDS and Suffering announces as follows. As part of the fallout from the international advocacy of its founding president, Her Excellency Chantal Biya, African Synergy has received equipment to enhance access to potable water and renewable energy solutions from the State of Israel. The ceremony to hand over this equipment to the Yaoundé Central Hospital will take place on Tuesday, the 19th of November, 2024, at 11 o'clock in the morning at the headquarters of the Pan-African Association. This donation from the State of Israel is part of the continuity of the cooperation that African Synergy has maintained with several Israeli partners since 2011. The Minister of Finance, considering the significant interest observed in recent days regarding the filing of tax returns, informs non-professional taxpayers subject to the annual personal income tax declaration that the deadline for submission has been extended to December the 1st, 2024. Additionally, the Minister of Finance commends the numerous taxpayers who have already voluntarily fulfilled this tax obligation. The Minister of Finance further emphasizes that non-compliance with this filing obligation will result in the enforcement of penalties as stipulated in the Manual of Tax Procedures. To further assist the concerned taxpayers in meeting their filing requirements, dedicated support teams have been deployed at their respective tax offices and within the Directorate General of Taxation, along with an online assistance mechanism including a toll-free call center 8200, an electronic assistance platform, help desk accessible via the homepage of the Directorate General of Taxation's website. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRT this afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people.
Thank you for being with us on CRTV's afternoon edition. A senior official from the Vatican has described President Paul Biya as a leader with a clear vision for Cameroon and concern about the welfare of his compatriots. Monsignor Paul Richard Gallagher, Secretary in Charge of Relations with other states and international organizations, was speaking today at the Unity Palace after a summit encounter with the President of the Republic, Paul Biya. The emissary of Pope Francis also praised the excellent bilateral relations existing between Cameroon and the Holy See. Unity Palace correspondent Amin King Edward completes that story.
All protocol and security duties were already in place when the highly esteemed guest, Special Envoy of Pope Francis, arrived at Unity Palace this Monday morning, November 18, for a summit encounter with the President of the Republic, Paul Biya. His name is Monsignor Paul Richard Gallagher, Secretary in Charge of Relations with other states and international organizations dispatched from the Vatican for a working visit in Cameroon. On his arrival at the Unity Palace, the Pope's emissary was jointly welcomed by the Chief of State Protocol Simon Pierre Bikele and by the Minister, Director of the Civil Cabinet at the Presidency of the Republic, Samuel Mvondo Ayulo, with whom he shared protocol civilities before the high-profile tete-a-tete with President Paul Biya. A one-on-one that lasted exactly 1 hour, with a constructive and fruitful conversation covering principally two areas of national and international interest: bilateral relations between Cameroon and the Holy See, and the war-infested areas around the globe. Here is the special envoy.
We were talking about relations between the Holy See and Cameroon. President was remembering his visits to the Vatican. He's probably the head of state that may have visited the Vatican more than anybody else. And also the visits of two popes here, John Paul II and Benedict XVI. We did a real sort of tour de table of international situation. Obviously, the president was showing his concern for the wars in Ukraine and Russia, and then in the Middle East. Also, we talked a little bit about general situation of Africa and the prospects for the new American president next year.
The very eminent personality from the Holy See was very generous with his description of President Paul Biya as a leader with a clear vision for his country and very preoccupied about the welfare of his compatriot, adding that relations between Cameroon and the Vatican are just but pretty much excellent.
The relations excellent. They're certainly very normal in the sense we have a free exchange of information, of news through the Apostolic Nuncio here in Yaoundé and the ambassador to the Holy See. Also, I must say that we have an excellent relationship with the Catholic Bishop of Cameroon. They were very active in the recent Synod of Bishops, and I see in here a Catholic community which is very, very active and determined to be of service to the population, and in that the Holy See will be very supportive.
The special envoy of Pope Francis left the Unity Palace wearing a broad smile and carrying along with him a depth of gratitude that speaks to the intimacy and trustworthiness that he saw in President Paul Biya, with whom he exchanged souvenir gifts as a sign of brighter days ahead for Cameroon-Vatican relations.
The Minister of Finance, Louis-Paul Motsepe, has presented the settlement bill for the 2023 financial year before the Finance and Budget Committee of the National Assembly. It was an opportunity for him to outline the socio-economic context in which the state budget was implemented during the financial year in question at the National Assembly, sub-regional and international levels. In the following soundbite captured by Doris Batetatekwe, Honorable Fonge Julius, member of the Finance and the Budget Committee, elucidates on the settlement bill and the outcome of projections made last year.
The projections that went on up to 6 billion and the expenditures were actually met, and that the items that were programmed to be realized were effectively realized. One or two worries came out from the commission members as to whether those programs which were indicated to have had 100% accomplishment were actually being accomplished. I think there was an explanation to say that what was programmed was accomplished. It didn't mean in any way the problems in Cameroon were finished. For example, let's assume that Cameroon has about 10,000 roads to be tarred. But for that particular year, due to budget exigencies and the fact that it can hardly ever be enough, maybe the government program to handle 5,000. The question now was, were the 5,000 roads realized? And when it was realized, if the roads were being constructed, they would talk of 100% achievement as far as that particular program is concerned. This is the essence of a settlement bill, for us to come and see whether revenue matches with expenditure and projects are being realized based on what was being projected.
And that was the member of the Finance and Budget Committee, Honorable Fonge Julius, interviewed for us by Doris Batetatekwe. And among the bills tabled for scrutiny at the National Assembly is the draft relating to the organization and practice of traditional medicine in Cameroon. As Political Desk editor Albert Njembonde reports, the bill is a milestone, given that it is the first time a legislation goes to Parliament to regulate the practice of traditional medicine in the country.
Up to now, there is no legal framework binding the practice of traditional medicine in Cameroon. The bill of 7 chapters and 44 articles tabled by the government for scrutiny in Parliament covers the critical issues. First, by outlining the code of professional ethics and the rights and obligations of traditional practitioners. It also defines who is a traditional practitioner, conditions of collaboration between traditional practice and conventional medicine, and provides possibilities of practicing traditional medicine in public health institutions. The bill also gives room for traditional practitioners to have a national order of their own, as it is the case with doctors and pharmacists, to comply and regulate professional conduct. Another question the bill answers is the different categories among traditional practitioners by stipulating clearly the difference between traditional birth attendants, bone setters, tradi ancestralists, and tradi spiritualists and herbalists. Offenses and penalties are also outlined, ranging from immediate cessation of activity, temporary suspension, the confiscation of objects, the withdrawal of licenses, jail terms ranging between 1 and 10 years, and fines from 5 million to 20 million CFA francs, within a context still marked by a high tendency for Cameroonians to resort to endogenous solutions. The bill, described as an innovative legislation, will enable traditional practitioners to operate in total legality and permit the state to better monitor and control their activity.
In the meantime, the use of traditional medicine is an ancient and evolving practice that continues to thrive in many parts of the Adamawa region. From herbal remedies to spiritual healing, traditional medicine is considered a cornerstone of healthcare in many communities of the region. Elise Waji Banmia spoke to some practitioners in Goundary and put together the following report.
In the town of Goundary, professionals who practice traditional medicine, often called malam, are deeply rooted in communities and possess an intimate knowledge of local flora, fauna, and healing rituals. Ismaila Yaya, one of them, says his mastery of the profession is thanks to knowledge acquired from his forefathers.
I inherited everything I know from my father. I specialize in the treatment of rheumatism, typhoid, malaria, and all sorts of hemorrhoids.
Traditional medicine is not merely a relic of the past. It is a living and evolving practice in Goundary, as healers boast of playing a significant role in the health care of patients for the past 20 years.
I have patients all over the country, even abroad, like in Libreville. Once a patient calls and is diagnosed, I send the herbal medicine wherever she or he is in the world.
Despite its widespread use, practitioners say traditional medicine faces significant challenges. The healers are poised to blend their skills with modern medical practices rather than compete. Ellis Wajibania, CRTV News, Ngaundiri.
And in the following analysis, Mankambe explores reasons traditional medicine should be regulated in Cameroon.
A lot of controversies have surrounded the use of traditional medicine lately and the need to clear the doubt. For traditional medicine to serve its purpose, the safety of patients must be brought to the fore by monitoring quality and potency. This will mean that it is safe, effective, and consistent by setting standards through pharmacovigilance. There is need for efficacy in traditional medicine by regulating claims of effectiveness and evidence-based proof to ensure that a drug can be used, for example, without side effects. The aspect of quality control must be taken into consideration in a bid to standardize manufacturing and packaging processes, while also bearing in mind that intellectual property protection is of the essence to prevent contamination. Over and above all, continuous research in traditional medicine will help in a better understanding, while regulation will strike a balance between presenting knowledge and ensuring patient safety, thereby promoting innovation and integration with conventional health care.
Thank you, Mankambe, and we stay in health, where professionals in Cameroon have been brainstorming on ways to bring quality services closer to the population at affordable rates. This is at the maiden forum on primary health care in the country, opened in Yaoundé by the Minister of Public Health, Manauda Malachi, in the presence of public health administrators and other partners operating in the country. Karine Kubon reports.
The first phase of the Forum on Primary Health Care, which opens in Yaoundé today, has in attendance regional delegates of public health, directors of hospitals, representatives from the regional councils and mayors, amongst others, expected to present problems faced by their communities for proximity-oriented solutions. To the Northwest Regional Delegate of Public Health, Dr. Kingsley Cheso, the decentralization of competences to local authorities would ease the recruitment of personnel who master the terrain.
We don't have enough personnel, insufficient equipment in some of our health facilities. We want to see more involvement of the community in the provision of health care. And that's why we are looking forward to the transfer of competence for recruitment of personnel residing in the field and who are ready to stay there, especially given our challenges that we are facing in the Northwest region, for example.
While opening the four-day conference, Minister Manauda Malachi reiterated the resolve of his ministry to continue pursuing an up-to-date, flexible and adaptable healthcare system in Cameroon, capable of rapidly responding to any health emergencies.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
One minute after 3 p.m., you are listening to CRTV's Afternoon Edition. Young people from Cameroon's 10 regions are availing themselves of the policies, programs, and projects set up by government and her development partners to boost entrepreneurship and competitiveness in the country. This is at the 6th edition of the Global Entrepreneurship Week, launched in Yaoundé today by the Minister of Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises, Social Economy and Handicraft, Achille Baslikin III. Belinda Show puts the global entrepreneurship in Cameroon into context.
Cameroon currently counts a little over 400,000 SMEs, and that number is far from the targeted 2 million SMEs, which, if attained, will be a major lever for sustainable growth in the country. The Global Entrepreneurship Week this year is therefore looking to engage grassroots participation in the construction of the country's entrepreneurial niche, a sustainability initiative that could help grow micro, small and medium-sized enterprises by leaps and bounds. Moreover, SMEs stakeholders are on this day working on running awareness campaigns and support the creation of new entrepreneurship clubs, beginning at elementary schools through higher education. These, among a range of projects designed to multiply startups around the country, will fast-track job creation, raise the number of self-employment, and boost competitive growth at district, subdivisional, divisional, and regional levels.
Meanwhile, a collective agreement has been signed between the Professional Association of Credit Institutions of Cameroon, APECAM, and Workers' Trade Union of the banking sector in the country to improve on the wealth of employees of that sector as well as guarantee productivity. The Minister of Labour and Social Security, Grégoire Owona, while presiding over the endorsement ceremony today in Yaoundé, gave firm instructions for the immediate application of the convention. We have details with Vanessa Woodnang-Snamung.
The collective agreement that was committed to paper today marks the end of hot and cold employer-employee negotiations, which lasted for 5 years to ease the livelihoods of workers in banking institutions of Cameroon. Gwendoline Abuno is the president of APECAM.
Workers, at the end of the day, they are the life or the oxygen of the banking sector. And if they are not comfortable in view of all of the challenges that they have been facing over the years, they will not be productive.
The revalorization of salaries, lodging and transport fees testifies of the steady need to provide decent jobs to employees of the banking sector.
Their freedom to be part of a workers' union. Some banks were not open to this, but we believe that is a right of a worker to be able to express themselves and take into consideration the different certifications and graduate or undergraduate degrees that our workers got.
Employers and workers' trade unions of the banking sector have pledged to continue the pursuit of sincere and constructive dialogue tailored towards achieving balance and just terms for the welfare of employees, for greater productivity of their enterprises.
The cities of Douala and Yaoundé produce less than 1 billion CFA francs each month as revenue for CamWater. The information was made public by the General Manager of Cameroon Water Utilities, Dr. Blaise Moussa, at the start of a two-day national workshop for CamWater's commercial team in Douala. The workshop is aimed at enhancing the national technical and commercial performance of CamWater staff. Journalism student on internship, Munira Mfoyapon, reports.
Head under the theme What Commercial Dynamism for CamWater to associate with a digital transformation and customer-based approach, inclusive assessment and prospects. The workshop that brings together CamWater's technical and commercial staff aims at enhancing their performances.
The objective of this seminar is to gather here all the stakeholders of the water commercialization for the sake of optimizing the tools and methods, and also to materialize those tools and methods in order to have better results on financial return of our water disposed to populations.
During the opening of the workshop, it was revealed that the cities of Douala and Yaoundé generate less than 1 billion CFA francs each as CamWater's revenue. Hence, to prevent the company from plunging into bankruptcy, some solutions were recommended for implementation.
The digitalization as a good base for that. We have also the marketing approach, which makes that the client is in the center of our interest to be valorized, and also for him to be a good citizen. Participate to the notification to CamWater of the index of his water meter.
It is hoped that by the end of the two-day workshop, the technical and commercial staff of CamWater will have gained knowledge and therefore improve the collection of revenue for CamWater.
And in sports, the coaches of Cameroon and Zimbabwe have expressed unwavering confidence in their squad's ability to secure victories this Tuesday when both sides meet in a Day 6 2025 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium. Coach Marc Brice and Coach Michael Nees were speaking this afternoon at the press hall of the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium during separate pre-match press conferences. Ben Collins Nyeberiwo has the report.
The indomitable Lions tactician Marc Brice was accompanied to the press conference by defender Christopher Wo. Both men were unanimous that their objective is to win this Tuesday's game against Zimbabwe and top Group G of the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers. Coach Marc Brice further highlighted that to achieve that objective, he will play with his best team.
Our trainings are very concentrated, very direct. We have some players who are injured, so we have to adapt. It's a very talented group, qualities to win games. So I've given chances to people. Zimbabwe is a good team, it's very fast, so we have to be careful for that.
To the coach of the Warriors of Zimbabwe, Michael Nees, they are not in Yaoundé on a safari trip. He says the FIFA ranking is at stake.
We are not coming here for holidays. We have to play a match. Although both teams are qualified already, it's still a football match which we have to respect. Could be a little bit more exciting game than usual. On the other side, we have to respect also the opponents. And we take the game serious. The FIFA ranking will be also affected by such games.
Cameroon currently tops Group G with 11 points, followed by Zimbabwe with 9 points. Both sides have already qualified for next year's Africa Cup of Nations to take place in Morocco. The confrontation this Tuesday begins at 2 p.m. at the Amadou Ahidjo Stadium in Yaoundé.
Thank you, Ben Collins, Nyoiberu. And CRTV's afternoon edition was a presentation of Drusilla Mokoso-Joki. Up next is a summary of the news in the French language with Coralie Laetitia Emini. Bon après-midi.
Bon après-midi, Drusilla, madame, messieurs. Bon après-midi. Les relations entre le Cameroun et le Saint-Siège ont été passées en revue ce matin au Palais de l'Unité. C'était au cours de l'audience que le chef de l'État, le président Paul Biya, a accordé à l'envoyé spécial du Vatican, Monseigneur Paul Richard Gallagher. Le président de la République et l'envoyé spécial du pape François ont également échangé sur les grandes questions de l'heure dans le monde. En santé, l'hôpital public camerounais hier, aujourd'hui, et demain, la thématique meuble les échanges du premier forum sur les soins de santé primaire et l'institutionnalisation de la santé communautaire au Cameroun. En ouvrant les travaux, ce matin, le ministre de la Santé publique en appelle à un effort collectif pour développer les hôpitaux publics afin de répondre aux besoins des patients. Le ministre de la Santé publique qui reconnaît la complémentarité entre la médecine traditionnelle et la médecine moderne. C'est ce que laisse raisonnablement envisager le dépôt d'un projet de loi irrelatif à l'Assemblée nationale. Le texte soumis à l'appréciation des parlementaires réunis à la faveur de la session ordinaire du mois de novembre charrie des espoirs certains pour la normalisation d'un secteur qui a jusqu'ici évolué dans l'ombre. Et puis sport, football, demain mardi 19 novembre, les Lions indomptables du Cameroun affrontent les Warriors du Zimbabwe. Mais déjà ce matin, l'entraîneur sélectionneur national Marc Brice et le défenseur central Christopher Wu ont sacrifié au rituel de la conférence de presse d'avant-match. C'était au stade Omnisports Amadou Ahidjo. Face à la presse, Marc Brice s'est voulu rassurant et affirme que les Lions indomptables sont prêts à livrer un match correct. Le sport qui referme le condensé des nouvelles en français. En vous remerciant de l'avoir suivi, je vous invite à rester sur la CRTV car les programmes se poursuivent. Madame, messieurs, bon après-midi.